So it's the 16th of December 2016, and with the VIG in Vrindavan, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 25 to 45. Everybody ready?
Savasudevanu charam prasantam brihaspatir praktanayam pratitam alingya gadam pranayena vajram swanam apichad bhagavat prajanam.
Then, due to his great love and feeling, Bajura embraced him, Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of brihaspatis. Bajura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
Kachit purana purusha svanamya vanam yateha kilavatirno asato urdhya psusalam vinaya krita shanu kushalam suragehi.
Krishna, 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 we have entered into the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower from the Lord, and increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone and doing well in the house of Surasena.
Kajit Kuranam Paramasurino Vama Saste Sukamangasori Sanam Prativad Varan Varanyo Varatarpanena.
Please tell me whether the best friend of the Kurus, our brother-in-law Vasudeva, is doing well. He is very munificent. He is like a father to his sisters, and he is always pleasing to his wives.
Kachit Varantam Patir Yadunam Kajumna Ase Sukamanga Virya Yalam Rukmini Bhagavato Nene Arajya Vipram Smaranam Adi Sargam.
O Uddhava, please tell me how Prajumna, the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, who was Cupid in a former life, Rukmini bore him as her son from Lord Krishna by the grace of Brahmana Sushi, please.
Kachit Sukam Sattvata Vrishni Boga Dasar Hakana Maripasa Aste Yam Aviyashina Chata Patra Natro Nirpasanam Parihichat.
Oh, my friend, tell me whether Ugrasena, the king of the Satvatas, Vishnis, Bhojas, and Dasarhas, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne. But Lord Krishna again installed him.
Kachitare Sonya Sutas Aste Rani Ratinam Sadhu Samba Asuta Yam Jambavati Vatabhya Devam Guham Yom Vikaya Tekore.
O gentle one, does Samba fare well? He exactly remembers the Son of the Personality of Godhead.
In the previous birth, he was born as a Bharatakan in the womb of the wife of Lord Shiva. And now he has been born in the womb of Jambavati, Lord Shiva.
Shemam Sakachi Yudanase Yapaluna Lamadanurahasya Yedeya Sarosaya Seva Yaiva Kadim Kadiyam Yati Vir Duraham.
O Uddhava, does Yudana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination.
Bhagavat Prapanam Ya Krishna Padan Kita Marga Pamsusu Achesta Prema Vivina Darya.
Please tell me whether Akura, the son of Swapalka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul surrendered unto the personality of Godhead.
He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. Kachit Shivam Deva Kaboja Puja Vishnu Vajaya Iva Deva Matu Vatai Swagarbena Dadhana Devam Vayayataya Gnavitana Martam. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Deva Kaboja conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she Devaki doing well? Api Srinate Bhagavan Sukambo Yasat Patam Kama Dugo Niruda Yam Amananti Swahi Shabda Yonim Mano Mayam Sattva Turiya Tattvam. May I inquire whether Aniruddha is doing well? He is the fulfiller of all the desires of the pure devotees and has been considered from yore to be the cause of the Rig Veda, the creator of the mind and the fourth planetary expansion of Vishnu. Api Sridanye Jani Jatma Daivam Ananya Vritya Samanu Vritaye Vidika Satya Maja Charu Deshna Garai Daya Swasti Charanti Somya. O sober one, others like Vidika, Charudeshna, Gada, and the son of Satyabhama, who accept Lord Sri Krishna as the soul of the self, and thus follow his path without deviation, are they well? Api swadorbhyam vijaya chutabhyam dharmena dharma paripati setum Duryodhano tapyata yat sabayam samrajya lakshmya bhajananuvritya. Also let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhisthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion.
Formerly, Duryodhana was working with envy because Yudhisthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna
as if they were his own arms. Kim Vatrika Gyeshvatagam Matyamarshi Vimo Hivadir Gatamam Vanyuchat Yastyam Vipatam Rana Bursa Sehe Margam Gadayas Sharato Vichitram. Please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club when he stepped on the path. Kachchidya sodarata yutapanam Gandhi bandanvo parati raste Alakshito yach chachachuta gudo Maya Kirato Girishas Chutosha. Please tell me whether Arjuna, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous among the chariot warriors for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter. Yama utsad vitanaya prataya partaya vritopakshmirakshinipa remata udaya mirge swaritam varat suparna viva vraj vivaktrat. Are the twin brothers who are protected by their brothers doing well? Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelid, they are protected by the sons of Pan, who snatched back their rightful kingdom from the hands of the enemy Duryodhana, just as Garuda snatched nectar from the mouth of Indra, the thunderbolt carrier. Aho prithavi vidyate Danur diditva kapubhashta darsha. O my Lord, is Britta still living? She lived only for the sake of her fatherless children. Otherwise, it was impossible for her to live without King Pandu, who was the greatest commander and who alone conquered the four directions simply with the help of a second pole. Somyanu Sochetamada Patanam Ratre paretaya vidududuya. Nirapitokena sudit svapurya. Aham svaputran samanuvratena.
O gentle one, I simply lament for he, Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am a sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons.
Soham harer marja vidambanena drisonyunam chalayato vidantu nam yopalakshya paravim prasadat charamipasyam gata vishmayotra.
I am not astonished at this, having traveled all over the world without being seen by others.
Yet the beauties of the society of which I have known
in the world are bewildering to others, but I know of his greatness by his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects.
Nunam nirvanam trimadot patanam mahim uschalayatam chamubi vadat prapanati jigrishikesho sagat.
Despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride.
Ajasa janmotpata nashanaya karmanya kartur gahanaya pumsam nananyaka kortata yeha yogam aro unantam uta karma tantra.
The appearance of the Lord is manifested for the illumination of the upstarts. His activities are transcendental and are connected for the understanding of all persons. Otherwise, since the Lord is transcendental to all material worlds, what purpose can he serve by coming to earth?
Tasya pravarna kila lokapanam avasitana nusharasthasasve artaya jatasya yadushvajasya vartam sakekritaya tirtakrite.
O my friend, please therefore chant the glories of the Lord, who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. He is born, and he appears by his causes mercy upon the surrendered rulers of all parts of the universe. Only for the universe is the appearance of the Lord.
Okay, the first thing I'd like us to do is I'd like us to look at to text 41 and 42. Here's a nice comparison between Vidura and Dhritarashtra. So let's just look at the purports here. The first is in the purports again. O gentle one, I simply lament for he, Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am a sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. Purport. Vidura did not ask about the welfare of his elder brother because there was no chance of his well-being, only news of his gliding down to hell. Vidura was a sincere well-wisher for Dhritarashtra, and he had a thought about him in the corner of his heart. He lamented that Dhritarashtra could rebel against the sons of his dead brother Pandu, and that he could drive him, Vidura, out of his own house on the dictation of his crooked sons. In spite of these actions, Vidura never became an enemy of Dhritarashtra, but continued to be his well-wisher. At the last stage of Dhritarashtra's life, it was Vidura only who proved to be his real friend. Such is the behavior of a Vaishnava like Vidura. He desires all good, even for his enemies. For text 42, I'm not astonished at this, having traveled over the world without being seen by others. The activities of the personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others, but I know of his greatness by his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects. Purport. Although he was the brother of Dhritarashtra, Vidura was completely different. By the grace of Lord Krishna, he was not foolish like his brother, and thus his brother's association could not influence him. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sons wanted to falsely lord it over the world by dint of their own strength. The Lord encouraged them in this, and thus they became more and more bewildered. But Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord, and therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the absolute personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, and thus he was freed from all doubts. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. Does anybody know where that a similar statement is in Bhagavad Gita? In Bhagavad Gita 16:1-3, fearlessness. That fearlessness is particularly supposed to be for the sannyasis. Or for one, I mean, in this case, he's a vanaprastha, not a sannyasi. But this concept that if you want to be a renunciate, you have to be fearless. You have to be convinced that Krishna's going to take care of you. If you're not convinced Krishna's going to take care of you, don't go to the renounced order, because someone in the renounced order who's not fearless like that, they end up collecting disciples just for maintenance. You understand? And you see the people who are in the renounced order who don't have this fearlessness. They cause a disturbance. They're not there accurately. Okay. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Abhaya Sattva Samudhi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But unless one is in the pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. So everybody is on the mercy of the Lord. But if you want to be in the renounced order, you have to have realization. This stage of dependence is called sattva samudhi, or purification of one's existence. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. A devotee of the Lord who is called Narayanapura is never afraid of anything, because he's always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. With this conviction, Vidura traveled alone, and he was not seen or recognized by any friend or foe. Thus he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. When Lord Sri Krishna was personally present in the mortal world in his eternal blissful form of Shyamasundara, those who were not pure devotees of the Lord could not recognize him or know his glories. Avajananti mamudha manusim tanamashritaha by Gita 9:11. He's always bewildering to the non-devotees, but he's always seen by the devotees by dint of their pure devotional service. Okay. Yes.
Was Vidura ever married?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And he took sannyas directly, not through vanaprastha.
As I've said now, I think several times today and yesterday, he didn't take sannyas, he took vanaprastha.
Okay.
He married a woman whose father was a brahmana and whose mother was a shudra.
Like himself,
yes. So no, never stated that he took sannyas. He took to the vanaprastha, which can be done traveling with the wife or not. There's both options are there. All right, let's just look at this comparison between Dhritarashtra and Vidura. So both Dhritarashtra and Vidura were in a difficult situation. Yes? Dhritarashtra was having his kingdom threatened because Pandu and Pandu's sons were the rightful heirs. And this shook his sense of security. It shook his sense of value and meaning and his occupation. And Vidura was actually thrown out. by Duryodhan. So on. Whose situation was more difficult, Vidura's or Dhritarashtra's? Vidura's, definitely. Dhritarashtra still had a home. Nobody was threatening to throw him out. We even see after the Battle of Kurukshetra that Maharaj Yudhisthira was very concerned about Dhritarashtra. He wanted to make sure Dhritarashtra was taken care of. So Dhritarashtra didn't have a problem with home and security and even some place doing some valuable service, whereas Vidura lost everything. And what is the difference between how they responded to this? Some thoughts? Yes.
Vidura is the hand of Lord Krishna, and he happily accepted Krishna's mercy.
And Dhritarashtra?
Dhritarashtra was more and more angry and
Yes.
Dhritarashtra was actually, he was attached to the throne. Apparently he was like a blind man, but still he had so much attachment. Externally it was like he was attached to his son, but actually he was attached to his own position. And he took shelter of his crooked son to save that position. On the other hand, Vidura, he took shelter of Lord Krishna. He was attached to Lord with the home or anything, all those facilities.
I really like that. I really like what Rina said there. That it looked like he was attached to his son, but actually he was attached to his throne and his position on the excuse of his son. He used his son because he couldn't really claim the throne on his own. So by the excuse that my son should have the throne, he was maintaining his own. He was using his son. Excellent. That's really nice. Okay.
We hear that Dhritarashtra was being fed by the hands of those who he had tried to kill, so he was in a very awkward position.
That was later.
And that's later. After Vidura leaves.
I don't think that was at this point. Why could that not be at this point? Because who's alive right now?
Duryodhan.
Of course, sort of yes and no, because now Vidura, that was at the beginning of the journey. Now Vidura is at the end of the journey, and so by now Duryodhan is dead. But when Vidura left, Duryodhan was still alive. Duryodhan was the one who threw him out. So right now, when Vidura is talking to Uddhava, Duryodhan has already died. Everything's finished.
And also, Dhritarashtra, although he was hearing Bhagavad Gita, describing, learning the descriptions, he could not even realize that Krishna is the God.
Wow.
But whereas Vidura, just by traveling, he was knowing and appreciating Krishna.
Excellent, excellent point. Everybody heard that? Yes.
But I heard Dhritarashtra already knew who Krishna was.
Was
the Supreme Personality. Because of his attachment to the throne, or because of his attachment, he couldn't accept or he couldn't realize that he's so attached, he was blinded actually. But he knew, deep inside, he knew who Krishna was.
We had a children's book in our Gurukul, not written by a devotee. But they said, you have to know the truth, believe the truth, and act on the truth. Knowing the truth isn't enough. You have to believe it and you have to act on it. So I think Dhritarashtra knew that Krishna was God in some sense, but I don't think he really believed it in a deep sense, and he certainly didn't act on it. It was mostly just theoretical knowledge. It's like if I say, I know I'm not this body, but I put all my effort into the body. So, do I really believe I'm not the body? Do you understand what I'm saying? If I say I'm not this body, but even 5 minutes a day I don't do anything for myself, all I take care of is the body, I know it, but I don't really believe it. Yes?
I think in the last verse of the sequence was told that the pious, by the piety, they're able to see super soul. So Dhritarashtra probably was in a similar position as his son Duryodhana. His piety limit was excessive.
I found it very interesting that Prabhupada says here that Vidura, it said, he now had experience that dependent on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. You know, brahmachari life, you're supposed to be living in the guru's ashram. You only eat when you're called. You don't have any possessions. You turn them all over to your guru. The original brahmachari ashram was for children and young teenagers. Wasn't for most adults did not stay in the brahmachari ashram. Even if they stayed brahmachari in terms of celibacy, they would move on to the higher ashrams of vanaprastha and sannyas. So grihastha life has a lot more freedom than brahmachari life. And in fact, one reason that people move on to the grihastha ashram is to find that freedom. And I've been advocating for some time that in ISKCON we really establish the vanaprastha ashram for brahmacharis who don't want to get married. Because the vanaprastha ashram has more freedom even than the grihastha ashram. And to expect grown men to stay in a position of dependence is not very reasonable. But if you go through the ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, each ashram has more freedom. When you're in the grihastha ashram, you have a lot more freedom than when you're in the brahmachari ashram. You can choose what color you want to paint the walls. You can choose how you want to spend your money. You understand? You can choose what you want to cook and when you want to eat, where you want to go. In the brahmachari ashram, the guru says, do this, do this, do this, do this. Then the vanaprastha ashram, you have even more freedom. You don't have the responsibility of a mortgage or a rent or the utility bills or a car or taking care of your family. And the sannyasa ashram, you have full freedom, because you've already died to your identity in the world. So it's saying here that Vidura was finding this freedom of being a vanaprastha better than the freedom in the grihastha ashram. It's a higher level of freedom. Of course, what you gain in freedom, you give up in security. You understand? When you're a child and you're being taken care of by your parents or by your guru, you have lots and lots and lots of security and very, very, very little freedom. You follow? The parents or the guru and guru mata, they're providing your food, they're providing your shelter, they're providing everything. So you have all the security, but you have practically no power, you have practically no freedom. As a grihastha, you have more freedom, but you also have security. This is my spouse, this is my home, this is my bank account, this is my vehicle. As a vanaprastha, you have much more freedom, but you have much less security. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't have a job anymore, you don't have your family around, you're just going to the holy places. As a sannyasi, an actual Vedic sannyasi, then you have no security. You've died to the world, but you have complete freedom. The freedom or renunciation is actually a higher opulence than the other opulences. But you can only relish that freedom if you have dependence on Krishna, which gives you fearlessness. If you don't have dependence on Krishna and fearlessness, you can't relish that freedom. You would just become disturbed. You say, I don't want that. I want security. Where's my security? You know, where's my security? We were talking to Indrajumna Swami last night. He's saying that he's staying here in Vraj for a few months. He says this is the longest he's stayed anywhere in his whole life. I think he's from a military family that moves around a lot. And he said that it's so odd for him to feel hungry at the same time every day. And I was telling him, I said, yeah, I have that situation. People say, when do you usually eat? I'm like, what, Monday or Tuesday? You know, it's when you're living depending on the Lord, you don't have any usually. You don't have a usual place to put your things. You don't have a usual time to eat. You don't have usual food to eat. You don't have a usual anything. One devotee asked me, can you please tell me your hour-by-hour schedule? Or maybe in smaller increments of time. Today's schedule or tomorrow's schedule? So what's wonderful about that kind of life is your dependence on the Lord is very present. As Prabhupada writes in this purport, everyone is dependent on the Lord. There's nobody who's not dependent on the Lord. But when you're in the grihastha ashram, you may not be so aware of that. You may think, well, we're dependent on my salary. We're dependent on my business. We're dependent on, you know, when you're a child, you're thinking I'm dependent on my parents, on my family. But to travel, especially the way Vidura traveled, and of course, I don't think any of our renunciates in ISKCON traveled the way that Vidura traveled, where he traveled without even his family knowing that where he was going, he wasn't recognized. You know, I'll travel from one ISKCON center to another, which is quite different. So he was traveling from one holy place to another, but without any kind of facility at all. Just whatever Krishna sends. I think it was talking to Sitala. I think it was her. And she said that she went on one of the original Vraj Mandala Parikrams. I'm pretty sure it was. And she said it was the first or second year with Lokanath Swami. And they weren't yet so experienced, so they didn't have everything prearranged. So they would just travel and get to a village and just depend on Krishna, that Krishna would somehow provide food and shelter and water and so forth. You know, just imagine. Water for drinking and food and a place to wash your clothes and a place to sleep and even our basic physical necessities. And he was saying that at first it was really hard, that the mind was just saying, you know, where will I sleep and what will I eat? And she said, but after a while, it just became so exciting that how is Krishna going to provide for us today? And how is Krishna going to provide for us today? And it became an exciting life of adventure. So that was kind of the way that Vidura was traveling. And Dhritarashtra is resisting this. He's fighting it. I don't want to depend on Krishna. I want to be the architect of my own fortune. I want to arrange my life. I want everything to be the way I want it to be. Now, that's his real, by my own strength. Okay. So how do we do this? How do we achieve fearlessness? Any thoughts?
By depending on the Lord.
Well, yes. Would you like to give me some specific ideas of how we can do that? Yes?
Chanting constantly, because your name is not different from Krishna, and if you chant, Krishna is there with you.
Oh, very nice. Okay, some other thoughts?
By having experience, as they did that every day, somehow it was happening.
Yeah, I like this, because Prabhupada is saying here, now we had experience. Well, how do you get this kind of experience?
Give Krishna a chance sometimes.
Oh, this is beautifully said. Just beautifully said. You give Krishna a chance. You give Krishna a chance.
That also has some problems.
That has some problems.
Implications.
Okay.
Krishna
okay.
May not act the way we want, so somehow.
But that's the game you're playing with him.
But usually it's better. Giving him a chance, he means whatever he wants.
Exactly.
But usually it's better than we can ever
think. I think always it is. But giving Krishna a chance means that you take risks and, you know...
Don't expect.
You what?
Not expect anything.
And don't have expectations. And you allow Krishna to move things in your life. I mean, it's interesting because we're talking again about writing curriculum materials. And one of the devotees in Vrindavan said, okay, you know, give me a business plan. And I said, it doesn't seem to me, in my experience, that Krishna works like that. I said, he doesn't seem to be a 35-year-old CEO. He seems to be a 15, 16-year-old, you know, village boy. And he doesn't seem to work that way. You know, Srila Prabhupada first tried to start the movement by earning a lot of money, and then Krishna took it away. And Prabhupada really just went in a very dependent on Krishna mode on all levels. And I see that that's generally the way Krishna works. Now, what does that mean practically for different people is going to depend on, you know, your personality, your service, your ashram, your varna, and so forth. You know, I don't think that if you're married with young children that you should be constantly putting your family at risk. Although, Srivas Thakur did that. You know, he...
My Guru Maharaj did that.
Huh?
My Guru Maharaj did that.
My Guru Maharaj?
Guru Maharaj.
Your Guru Maharaj.
My Guru Maharaj did that too.
Oh, he did. Who is your Guru Maharaj?
His Mercy Chaitanya Chandra.
Well, we find that Srivas Thakur did that. Lord Chaitanya said, how are you maintaining your family? He said, I have a 1-2-3 policy. That if I don't get food on day one, okay. If I don't get food day two, okay. Don't get food day three, okay. After that, I go jump in the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya said, even Lakshmi can go with a begging bowl, but I'll make sure that you're fed. Of course, that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be just imitated. But yeah, I think you have to give Krishna a chance to take care of you. It's mostly a mentality. It's much more mentality than it is a particular external action. You know, although this idea of Vidura just traveling like this is also an external action. He's putting himself in a position where he doesn't have all these prior arrangements worked out.
It's like he's constrained to do so, something.
I'm sorry?
It's like he's constrained because the only alternative he has is to go through this, you know, talk. Somewhat like he's constrained, I don't know if I'm using that word, because it seems that there's no way he can be part of the system because he has always given some talk, but it was not giving any chance to work.
To work, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And also by always consulting Guru Sadhu Shastra.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not that... That's always the first thing. It's always the first. Otherwise, we become just simply whimsical. Definitely, otherwise we become just simply whimsical. But to take some risks in service, under the guidance of Guru Sadhu Shastra, to be willing to take some risks.
Complete dependence on Lord has been shown by Madhavendra Puri.
Yes. Well, his situation was extreme. He didn't even beg. Which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged.
But he will not beg.
If we just think, Raghunath Das Goswami, he went and looked for food. I mean, even if it was old rice, he still went and looked for food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went begging. So Madhavendra Puri was more extreme even than Raghunath Das Goswami, because he made no effort at all to find food.
Even if Lord became thief when Madhavendra Puri thought I would have the prasad. Lord gave the prasad inside the coconut temple.
Yes. Yes. I mean, some of us are more risk-taking people by nature, and some of us are more cautious people by nature. So we are not saying that cautious people should become risk-takers, because we have our nature. And Krishna says, use your nature in my service. He does not tell us to change our nature. I mean, I know of one devotee who left his body a few years ago. He was a pujari at the Bhaktivedanta Manor in London. And he did the same service every day for 40-something years. The rumor was that he'd only left the property twice in over 40 years. So that's not a very risk-taking person. So we're not saying that you have to become a risk-taker in order to be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But we should have at least this, we should be cultivating this mood in our life. That Krishna's taking care of me. Otherwise we become like Dhritarashtra, who just, you know, keeps on fighting even when it's obvious that he's losing. We see this with Jarasandha, we see it with Ravana. They keep on fighting with Kamsa even after it's certain that they're losing. Okay. I'd like us to give presentations on our people. So I'm going to sit down here. And let's just, why don't we start with you?
With you?
Yes, Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Nakula.
You have Nakula, okay. So what, can you stand up here and tell us something about Nakula, please?
I found pretty people about it.
All right, well, whatever you found.
Just a second.
Okay, sure.
So Nakula was born together with Sahadev from Madri, the second wife of Pandu.
Because of the early death of their mother, they were taken care of by Kunti Devi and her sons. Wherever I have looked, Nakula and Sahadeva are mentioned together. They were born from Ashwini brothers, and Ashwini brothers are those who declare about the beginning of the day.
And, the beginning?
Of the day. Uh-huh. And they're also skillful in the healing arts. Nakula is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita before the battle. When he was blowing his Sukhosha corn shell. Sukhosha, the name means making a pleasant sound. Actually, both Nakula and Sahadev are described as very fine men.
Very what?
Very fine men.
Fine.
Very fine men.
Good people.
Yes, like here is a passage among the Kuru princes Drona had two disciples especially skillful in club fighting, Duryodhana and Bhima. Ashwatthama was best in mystic arts, and the twins, Sahadeva and Nakula, surpassed others in sword fighting. Yudhishthira was the best charioteer, but in overall skills, Dhananjaya Arjuna was the finest. Also, another passage where Nakula and Sahadeva are mentioned. It was saying that King Dhritarashtra was completely covered by darkness, and he saw everything with unfair partiality. So bad was his intelligence that he could not see the laws of God. Yudhishthira, the eldest of Pandavas, is a sinless man who will never approve a sinful act, nor will Bhima, best of the strong, nor the son of Kunti, Arjuna, and Nakula and Sahadeva, the two sons of Madri, are mature and great in wisdom and would never do evil. Nakula and Sahadeva, the finest of men. Nakula is mentioned also as Kaurava prince, who named his son after saintly king. I have here a problem with Sanskrit because words had deformed Sanskrit. Chetan. Does somebody know? So that Chataneka,
I'll have to check out. One who commands 100 armies, and his son would indeed bring glory to the clan. Draupadi gave birth to the son by Sahadeva during the asterism of fire, and the child, and the name came from that, one who leads a famous army. Use that song.
Thank you.
Not much.
Okay, Govinda, can you come and put you? I have such a long mic, I can. And then I have computer stuff, and then I look like, you know, like that, but I just open Krishna book, and I find just this two story about Satyabhama. First one is the marriage of Krishna and Satyabhama, which happened in connection with the story of Shyamatakaju. Satyajit, when he saw that he put himself in such a problem and dilemma, he realized that he better give Shyamatakaju to Krishna, and then to make it better, he also gave his daughter Satyabhama to marry. So it's mentioned so that how she became his wife. And then the second story is how once Indra brought flowers to Rukmini from the heavenly planet, Harijata flowers. And Satyabhama, she became really upset. How come she has the flowers and I don't have? She complained, and Krishna said, don't worry, you will have not few flowers, but the whole tree. So after some time, when there was a need for Krishna to go to the heavenly planet and to fight with Bhamasura, it took Satyabhama on her Garuda. They both flew over there, and you know, by fighting, she also was sitting there, and he was fighting, and they were gorgeously sitting in Garuda. And then after that, they came to Indra's place, and Krishna remembered, and he knew why he's going there, but she forgot. But then when they came there, then she saw the Bharijata tree, and she wanted to pick some flowers, and Indra, in under having the denizens, they got irritated, this used word, they got irritated by this. But never mind, you know, she just pulled it, you know, just imagine Satyabhama was very strong, she pulled the tree, and she took it, and then, you know, Indra, he completely forgot that Krishna just brought for him Aditi's earrings and, you know, all these other things that he got from Bhamasura, and Indra even touched his feet and put his head. He was so grateful to Krishna, and then he forgot everything. And for these flowers, he started to fight with Krishna, but nevertheless, Krishna defeated him, and he brought this tree in the garden, and Satyabhama, she had this tree in her garden, and the beautiful fragrance was emanating. This tree was, you know, distributed all over, and it was very beautiful. And in that connection, it's mentioned that Satyabhama, she was a favorite wife of Krishna. It says that he took his favorite wife. And I think that I didn't find this word, but I remember from before that somewhere it's mentioned that Krishna acted as hand-picked husband of his wife. And then...
Or Satyabhama.
I'm not sure if it's only in relation to Satyabhama or it's in general to all the five, but I remember this word. It's like stuck in my mind. And then, you know, it's mentioned that she was very qualified and beautiful. And then it's mentioned in particular that all the wives, including Satyabhama, that in spite of having many, many thousands of servants, they actually personally did service to Krishna, like, you know, accepting him and giving him food and all the menial service they were doing by themselves. And she had the 10 sons from Krishna. And then I remember this, but I didn't look in, like, in the details, but Satyabhama's name mentioned also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In one connection is about Jagadananda, when, you know, he got angry and he broke the pot. So it's mentioned that because it's Satyabhama and she has this
entering from, you know, the right wing Gopini. And then also I remember that when Rupa Goswami wanted to write this drama, which became the Dada Madhava and Lalita Madhava, then he traveled to Jagannatha Puri, in that place where it was actually was Satyabhama's village. She came in his dream and she told him that don't write one book, make two books. One will be like Dada Madhava about the Vrindavan Goswami, and one will be Lalita Madhava about the Dwaraka Goswami. So somehow I remember that, and then of course there is the story, I don't know in which Purana, but I think it's also Lalita Madhava, that tells how Srimati Radharani took birth as a Satyabhama, and you know, then met the first time. So the channel, like in general, I'm sure it's much more.
Pastor?
I was just also thinking that, you know, she, like Rukmini, I also read a little bit of Rukmini's pastime, and she was like very submissive, and like, you know, she played there, she fell down, she was like, you know, like, not defeating herself, but like Obama, she was strong, she actually got angry that she doesn't have this loss, and like, you know, she showed that wound, which is
the son of Nakula was Shatanika.
Shatanika.
Mine is not so elaborate, but a little. I got two characters, one is Angita and other is Hritika. I couldn't find much about Hritika, but he was mentioned in first, third and ninth cantos, and he was described as the son of Bhoja. But I was reading, and the Bhoja dynastic person, like, the dynasty which came after the Bhoja is different maybe from this Bhoja. I'm not very sure, like I'm not clear with it, because... And he had three sons, Devamida, Satyavarmu and Kritavarmu. So in this third canto, Vidra was asking about Kritika and Kritavarmu. So they are somehow related to Kamsa. I don't know. And the other character is Aniruddha. So Aniruddha is the son of Pradyumna, born from Krishna and Rukmini. So he's a grandson of Krishna. And it is described that he was very much like Krishna. He looks very captivating. And Aniruddha, there's a pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 62. Chapter where it's a battle with Banasura, because Aniruddha falls in love with Usha, who is a daughter of Banasura. And Aniruddha, one of the characteristics was, it's a four-handed Vishnu, and if you see the Vaikunthas, every Narayan is name is different because of the placement of the symbols, weapons. So he has chakra, conch shell, club, and a lotus flower. And sorry, I jumped back. And when Banasura also sees Aniruddha, he gets captivated by himself. And he starts describing him as brilliant and swarthy, dressed in yellow garments, his eyes are like lotus petals. Arms are very long, nice and curly, bluish hair. And other descriptions of Aniruddha, he's the controller of the mind. So if someone wants to have so much strength in the mind, they need to pray to Lord Aniruddha. And Aniruddha, I was reading in the canto, third canto, where he's the origin for Mahavishnu from whom the Rig Veda came. And he's also the first expansion of Balaram. No, the first, he comes with the first four expansions of the Balaram.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, go for Gopal.
Last to write 5 points accordingly.
Yes.
I have given 5 points, 5 important points of his personalities.
Okay.
First is Vasudeva. Vasudeva becomes the father of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad. But before that he became father of the Lord twice. During the Svayambhuva Manu Kalpa, he was Sutapa. Then Lord made him father. It was expressed by the Lord in the 10th chapter of Krishna. Then in the next occasion, Kashyap Rishi became the father of Lord. So in this way, he is one of the most fortunate men that the thrice he became father of the Lord. Another name of Vasudeva was Ananda Dundavi, because at the time of his birth, the demigod played Dundubi. Dundubi is a type of instrument to make musical sound for celebrating the birth of Vasudeva. Vasudeva married with Devaki, the cousin sister of Kamsa, as one of the several wives. When Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki for saving his own life after hearing the Akashvani or celestial forecast, Vasudeva very tactfully saved the life of Devaki with the promise that he will hand over all the children of Devaki just after birth to Kamsa. Vasudeva had strong faith in the Lord when he was asked by the Lord to take him to Gokul. He never thought how he will go outside the jail or how his hands and legs will be freed from the shackles or how he will cross the river Jamuna in the high flat in the month of August. Lord arranged everything. Vasudeva divided into 16,108 exactly same form for living in each houses of his daughter-in-law at Dwarka. At the same time, like Sri Krishna himself. But even then, the unfortunate with this man, that he could not understand his song, is the Sarvasaktiman. Even in the meeting of the sages, he asked Narad Muni to show some way how he will be delivered in that. When Sarva was given. These are the 5 points I have to learn. Then we are in Kunti. Kunti was the paternal aunt of Sri Krishna. She married with the king Pandu of Hastinapur. Kunti served Durvasa Rishi. In return, Durvasa gave her Devahuti mantra. It is the mantra to invite the demigods. After the untimely death of the king Pandu, the two queens of Pandu, Kunti and Madhuri, invited the demigods to have 5 sons. Kunti was inside the home in his household work. Arjun, after winning Draupadi in the fish eye shooting case, told her mother from the outside that, "See what I have brought." And mindful mother, without seeing the what he has brought, replied, "Whatever you got, you divide among yourself." Accordingly, to keep the wishes of Kunti, who thought some food articles might have been brought, Draupadi became the wife of 5 lords. Kunti prayed to Lord Krishna repeatedly, "Yavar har saroj and sabar." so that she will be remembering the Lord always. She was the only lady in the Kaurav Pandav family who could understand the Lord as the scripture.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Well, I remember a class we had this summer on Krishna Janmashtami. It was such a far out class. I recommend you, if you want to get the link, I can give you. And it was given by Urmila. And she was mentioning the imagine, no, that the situation of Kunti, of Devaki, sorry, she had, as Prabhupada was saying, in previous life there were Sutapa and Prishni, and they went to through so many austerities during so many thousands, I don't know how many thousands of years, great austerities. Finally the Lord appears to them. And he asked, what do you want? And she says that, I want a son like you. So there is no one like Krishna. So he agreed that he would himself come, because there is no one like him, like Krishna. So it's not that, plum, they perform the austerities, Krishna comes and the son is born. No? But anyway, then I thought, you asked for 5 points, simply, no. But that was one thing, no, that they performed so many austerities, and the Lord agrees to come as their son. And then they take birth, time passes, and they get married, and we know how Kamsa heard the voice, and although they were such exalted devotees, no one like them, still, they had to go through so many troubles, no? Like when in the marriage, the brother of Devaki is ready to kill her, to cut her head, no? So that was another aspect that she had to go through so many difficulties, no? We think that devotee life is just dependent on Krishna and everything is sweet and nice, but as we see, there are so many difficulties. So austerities, then having the challenge of her brother willing to kill her, then Vasudev appeals for his compassion, and then okay, no, he's not going to be killed. They go home, and then next day, the Kamsa changes his mind, and he imprisons them, and one by one, their children are killed, and. And I don't know exactly what 5 aspects, characteristics. What is exactly what you want?
That's right.
Okay. So the point was that so many difficulties.
I'm sure you had at least 5 points in there.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
I also was said to say something about Gada, but I didn't find much that he's one of the sons of Vasudev. Of Vasudev, doesn't say
which wife.
No. I didn't find it.
I had it written down on my Kindle, but I already have it memorized, so I didn't like know that I was supposed to give like a whole presentation, so I just read the Krishna book and I found some stuff about Javavati. There actually wasn't that much about her. I think the reason that I picked her is because I played her in a drama when I was like 7. And so as soon as I heard her, I was like, oh! But I couldn't find that much. I mean, I found that she's one of Krishna's wives. She's the daughter of Jambavan, the king of the bears. And she was married to Krishna in a cave after her father and Krishna fought for, I don't remember how long, it was like 2 weeks or something like that.
28 days.
Okay, so that's, it's like 4 weeks. It's like a month. And then when Jambavan realized that Krishna was God, he gave Krishna back the Shyamataka jewel, and he also gave Krishna his daughter, Jambavati. And then, Samba, Jambavati's son, and yeah, I think that's why.
Mm-hmm. Says that Krishna's favorite children, Krishna's pet children, were Jambavati's children.
Yeah, especially Samba.
Yeah, so Satyabhama was considered the favorite wife, but Jambavati's children were his favorite children.
And her children were Samba?
She had ten sons.
Ten, yes, at least one daughter. Okay, Sachi, come on.
Was she in a human body or was she in...
Well, Prabhupada said that Jambavan was not a bear. He said that Krishna wouldn't have married a bear. So Jambavan was like, Prabhupada said, paint Jambavan, he told to Jadarani, he said, like a black man of your country. So basically Jambavati was African, was black African.
Why Jambavan was called, named as a king of gorillas?
Well, no, bears.
Bears?
He lived in the forest, and he was obviously had control of the bears.
So I took two characters, one is Samba and the other one is Duryodhana. So first I will talk about Samba. As you heard, Samba is son of Jambavati and Krishna, and he's a very bad child. And why I'm saying that? Because Samba itself means bad. Amba means mother, and Sa means with. So this child was always with his mother. And that's why he was named Samba. He was also known as Jambavati Suta, son of. And he had some attraction towards Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana, and he wanted to marry her. But she was not so inclined. And during those days, whether the girl liked or not, they used to have this swayamvar. So whoever wins the swayamvar, she has to marry that person. So he wanted to go and get her. So he goes, and when the Kauravas came to know that he's coming, six warriors, including Bhishmadev, Karna, all the big warriors, six top warriors, attack him. But he was alone, and they captured him. But before they captured him, all the six of them were so appreciative of Samba, his heroic fight that he has given when they were trying to attack him. And he learned military art from Arjuna. The other thing is, with his brothers, Samba wanted to make fun of the rishis who were meditating, and he acts as if he was a pregnant, and then the rishis curse him that you will deliver a lump of iron, and that will be the cause of the destruction of all of your family members. So Samba dies because of that, the lump of iron piece. So these are the 5 points I have. Now next, Duryodhana. I have lots, but I'll just...
Just keep fighting.
Yeah. Duryodhana means dirty fighter. He was the first son of Dhritarashtra. Among the 100 sons, he was the first one. It's very amazing, Duryodhana, even though he's so envious and evil-minded, at the same time, he had good qualities too. Like for example, he used to follow Kshatriya principles very well. During the war, when he goes to Bhishma Dev and says, "You are very lenient. You are showing partiality towards Pandavas. You are my side, but you are not fighting from your heart. Are you going to fight from your heart and prove that you are really a Kshatriya?" And then Bhishma Dev gets very angry and he says, "Okay, these 5 arrows, I kept it so that tomorrow I'm going to kill all the 5 Pandavas. And you keep the arrows. Tomorrow morning, when I ask, you give the arrows to me." And he was so happy. He takes the 5 arrows and goes to the camp. And one of the things that really amazes me till today is, in the morning, from morning till evening, they fight. And in the evening, they sit together and have party, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. So Arjuna goes to Duryodhan and says, "Do you remember you gave me some word when I protected you from the Gandharvas? They were trying to kidnap you. I saved you from that, and you said, 'Whatever you ask, I will give you.' So I came for that." Immediately, even without hesitation, when Arjuna says, "Give me the 5 arrows," he just gives the 5 arrows. If I were in this place, I would have hesitated. When Aswatthama killed the 5 children of Draupadi, and he thought, when I take these 5 heads of the Pandavas, or junior Pandavas, Duryodhan will be very happy, he thought. But Duryodhan didn't like it at all. Even though he thought he would eliminate all the Pandavas, but still he couldn't accept the heinous act of Aswatthama. And when Duryodhan knew that Vidura was a very great soul, but when he got angry was when he heard that he was supporting the Pandavas, he couldn't tolerate his anger. And that's why he used the words that hurt his uncle. And Duryodhan learned the mace fighting from Lord Balaram. He was a favorite disciple of Lord Balaram. I'll stop.
So I have 2 characters, Bhima and Draupadi. So Bhima, as Tobi just explained, he was trained by Balaram to fight with the mace. And there was Bhima and there was Duryodhan. There were 2 students of Balaram to learn the mace. And Balaram says Bhima was stronger with strength and Duryodhan with his skills. So Bhima is the second Pandava. He's considered the son of Pandu and Kunti, when actually he was the son of Vayu. He was the son of the wind god, and in this way he's a half-brother of Anu. And Bhima, he was the son of Draupadi, but actually Draupadi, she was won the Svayamvara by Arjuna. And when Arjuna came back to his mother, said, "Mother, guess what I have won?" And the mother said, "Whatever you have won, you have to share with your brother." So Draupadi was married like that to the 5 Pandavas, both Lord Draupadi and Bhima. But Bhima always loved Draupadi so much, he was always finding beautiful flowers for Draupadi. And when she got in difficulty within a Virat sport, because the chief commander was very abusive towards her, Bhima disguised himself and he killed that head of the army of Virat. And that's how they were discovered in that exile. Because he had a special way to kill somebody, putting all the arm, everything inside their body. Only he was killing like that. So they guessed where that the Pandavas were in Virat's court. So So Bhima is quoted three times in Bhagavad Gita. First, Duryodhana says he's a great stumbling block towards victory. And because he was a Maharaji, means a great fighter. Then he's quoted as limited, because Duryodhana was very envious of Bhima. So he said, Bhishma is so powerful, but Bhima, you know, his strength is limited. So, and the third time is called Vrikrodhara, because he was a ferocious eater. Actually, he ate the whole chariot of the demon and killed the demon. And he married a Rakshasi and he got another son, Ghatakach. And Ghatakach was very helpful in the army, Battle of Kurukshetra, because Karna was creating havoc everywhere. And he had to throw his special weapon to Ghatakach. And thus, after Arjuna, would kill Karna. So he sacrificed his life during the battlefield to save the Pandavas. So Bhima is also called Bhima Karma in Bhagavad Gita, because he's a performer of Herculean task. His strength is legendary, very strong, and he blew in his conch called Pandra. And Draupadi, she is the daughter of Draupad. So she married the five Pandavas, very chaste wife. And she was helped a few times by Krishna, first in exile, because Duryodhana was his bad blood to send Durvasa Muni when they had finished their lunch. And Krishna came to rescue her. He has just a little remnant from the pot. And by eating that, remnants, all the disciples of Durvasa were fully satisfied. And so they did not come to ask for lunch. So they were not cursed, they were protected by Krishna. And again, in the assembly hall, you know, when this Duryodhana and all his brothers tried to strip her naked in front of everyone, she just dropped her sari and shouted, Govinda, Govinda. And with tears in her eyes, and just by her cry, you know, she conquered Krishna. The person who came, gave sari unlimited, nobody could stop her. Naked. So she had five sons, and during the battlefield, they were killed, as we said, by Ashvata. And
Can you go with Priya?
So I tell this is Yudhishthira. He is the eldest son of his eldest of the Pandavas, born from the union of Kunti and Dharmaraj, Vinayaraj. He performed rather sweet sacrifice with them to establish him as the world emperor. And also he's so virtuous, and with the help with the support of Arjuna and Krishna, in fact, he ruled the kingdom so prosperous, and which bring the enviousness from Duryodhana. And then that's why they had the war of Kurukshetra. In fact, Yudhishthira has another name, it's Ajatashatru. This means that one who has no enemy, so virtuous. And then the last point is that after Kurukshetra, he ruled world for 36 years, and then was succeeded by Parikshit.
Okay, should Ruben ask for this?
I was just wondering what I was saying, but somehow. So, you see, sometimes we may agree or disagree whether bhakti is actually independent. But we can see that bhakti may be independent, but at the same time, bhakti is given by the devotees or by Krishna himself. And from this connection, we can see Vidura is asking. He's asking Buddha about Duryodhana. In other words, my point is coming from text 31. I remember one time I was trying to, you know, take the dust off Matari. I was saying, Matari, anytime you come to Vrindavan, you can just let me know so that I can take your dust. But somehow, at the mercy of, you know, Krishna Matari, I'm not only taking the dust, but I'm taking our association. It's bigger to Srimad Bhagavatam. But what do we mean by this? Vidura is asking the question about Duryodhana, about his farewell. And Uddhava is saying that he got the destination of the pure soul. Why? Because he was trained by Jung. This is the translation. He was trained by Jung in Nietzsche art. So what is that? Association. A connection. So in the purpose, we see Srila Prabhupada enumerating different, you know, different personalities. He mentioned, you know, the renouncer, otherwise the sannyasi, strictly, you know, renouncing the entire world. And he mentioned the empiric philosophers. And he mentions the yogi. Well, he said, in spite of all this, they don't attain the destination which you don't attain. And Srila Prabhupada gave a remark. Why? Of course, he said in the purport also that Adushchaya, who is beyond the reach of the senses, it cannot be reached by all this, you know, personality, but just by one involving in devotional service. One gets hold of this person, one gets hold of Krishna. So this is the devotee's message, Krishna's message. So I wrote through Srila Prabhupada, you know, just like Srila Prabhupada is always giving us his modal mission. His mission, we can see what it says in Krishna. He said, Duryodhana activities, the state of life, sorry. Okay, that's me. Okay, he said the internal energy or the potence is, however, easily realized by the devotee or the Lord by dint of devotional service. So what does that signify? In spite of the labor of the, you know, the renouncers, the empiric philosophers, the yogi, but they only get a glimpse. They can't get through that glimpse. But the devotee, by virtue of their devotional service, they attain the higher destination. And this also enhances us to talk about Sahadi. And we is on the page, the same page, Canto 3, 139. Uddhava is also requesting about Sahadi. And in the translation, we've seen that there's a remark. Still the same connection. What is the connection? Association with the devotees. Because Mantri, you know, he left with Pandu because of some action that Pandu involved himself. So Kunti became the mother of the five children. And because of this, It, you know, materially speaking, we see that sometimes when there is some victory, you know, when there is some victory, we see that sometimes people intend to abandon those who have actually helped them to attain this victory. So these are some of the reasons why Vidura is asking this question. So Uddhava is giving a point that in spite of all, you know, the struggles, but they were all protected, you know, and they all achieved their desire, and no one was relegated. They were all, you know, accepted by Yudhishthira, and Yudhishthira gave them the necessary. Vidura was anxious to know whether after winning back their own kingdom from the hands of Duryodhana, the young brother were still living happily under the care of their elder brother. So it's a very interesting thing. And thoughts. So the point we want to stress here is that the association is very unique. We see how, you know, Duryodhana is connected with Arjuna. Because of that connection, he got liberation. And here, because Kunti was sheltered, the five Pandavas, the five sons, they all get protection. In other words, it was possible for them to face such strong enemy because Krishna also was on his side. So of course the point may not be enumerated, but somehow we try to say something regarding this personality. Hare Krishna.
Two characters, Ugrasena and Charudeshna. So Ugrasena, as we all know, he was one of the powerful kings in the Rishi dynasty, the cousin of Kuntibhoja. And another name he also had was Ahuka or Shursena, because he was the son of Ahuka, and his name was Ahuka. And his minister was Vasudev. And we all know his son was the powerful Kamsa. and Kamsa, you know, he even imprisoned his own father and ruled Shursena for a while. I have the names of his sons and daughters, but maybe I won't mention that, just trying to look at the time. Speak a little louder, okay. It's mentioned that he had 4 billion personal servants. And we heard about Samba a few times. And actually when the Yadu dynasty was to be vanquished, Ugrasena was actually entrusted with the iron lump from Samba's womb. And he actually then cuts it into pieces and mixes it with the seawater, Dwarka, and then after that kind of shuts off Dwarka, prohibits anyone from coming. And he had inquired from Narad Muni about the divinity of Lord Krishna, and I found a very sweet section actually from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where, you know, Narad Muni, as you know, in the first volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's inquiring, you know, he's trying to find out who's the greatest recipient of mercy. And so he reaches Ugrasena, and Ugrasena is actually referring him to Uddhava, saying, go to Uddhava, because actually Uddhava never even leaves the company of Krishna without Krishna ordering him to do so. And he says, in contrast, you know, I'm always begging for Krishna's company, but I never get that blessing because I'm just engaged in this degraded occupation of protecting the kingdom. And then he says, it's very sweet, he says, I delight only in one real honor, being able to carry out Krishna's orders, but the false honor Krishna shows me simply torments me and leaves me feeling cheated. So Ugrasena's happiness actually lies only in Krishna's command. But when Krishna, you know, acts like a subordinate to him and starts praising him, saying, "Oh, you're the noble king of Yadus and, you know, our grandfather and the pride of the Aryan race," then it just like really embarrasses Ugrasena. There's more, but Charudeshna, I didn't find a lot, but I have 5 points. he's another son of Lord Krishna and Rukmini, along with Pradyumna and Sudeshna and Charudeha. He was present during the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi, and he's also a great warrior like his father and brothers. In fact, he's described as a Maharathi, that he could fight with fight with thousands of men, actually. He fought with Vivini Dakha and killed him in a fight, and I tried to look up who this person is, but I didn't find anything really about him. But another sweet thing I found about his rasa is just from Krishna book, actually. Prabhupada writes that true reverential devotion is exhibited by persons who think themselves subordinate to Krishna and by persons who think themselves sons of Krishna. And the best examples of subordination are Sharana, Gada, and Subhadra. But Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, they have this mood of Putra Dasa. So Krishna's vatsalya bhav of protection, like protective affection, consisting of smiling and merciful affection and so on, actually acts as a stimulus or udipan for this particular rasa that Charudeshna has with Krishna.
That's
amazing.
Before marriage also she was serving Durvasa Muni, and she received some mantras from him, and she used those mantras that she received from Indra, this divine son Arjuna. So he was from the birth he was decorated with all the good qualities, and when he, for education all of these Pandavas and Kauravas, all brothers, they went to their Guru Maharaj Dronacharya's ashram. So one time Dronacharya, he decided to test all of the students. So on a tree, one bird was there, and he asked all of the students, "What are you seeing here?" And somebody, first he called Duryodhana, he was telling, "Oh, there's big sky and some colors." And then Guru Maharaj understood, okay, his vision is like this. Then one by one he called all the students, and then Arjuna. So Guru Maharaj asked, "What are you seeing?" So immediately he told, "I'm seeing the eye of the bird." So immediately the Guru understood, "Yes, this is the student to whom I should give my own mercy." And one another time, Dronacharya, he told to his wife, "Never give food to Arjuna after sunset." And she thought, "Why?" Then she said, "Okay, because it's the order of my husband." So she followed. But one time Arjuna in dark, he was just happened to be in the kitchen, and Bhima was there. As we all know, he's very fond of food, so he was eating. And Arjuna, he asked, "What are you doing here in the dark?" He said, "I'm just eating." So he asked, "In night there is no light, how you are eating?" So Bhima told, "Oh, for food we don't just need light, just straight for it will go to mouth." Then Arjuna immediately, it struck into his mind, wow. So why, if he is, because his interest is in food,
And he can eat in night also. And while I'm sleeping in night, I can also practice my this shooting arrows in night also. And he started doing it. And then his Guru Maharaj recognized, yes, he's a really interesting student. And then Guru Maharaj blessed Arjuna with all of his education he had. He gave everything. He was the best student of Dronacharya. And Arjuna, when after 12 years of their exile, when 13th year they were disguised and staying in Virata's kingdom, so Arjuna disguised as a dancer teacher for Uttara, the daughter of Virata. But after when they recognized after that war and then big story first time, so when they recognized, Virata recognized that he is Arjuna, so he wanted to offer Uttara to Arjuna. But Arjuna, because his values are very high, so he told, no, I have been teaching her, she's like my daughter, so I can't accept her like my wife. But I'm very happy if you offer your daughter as my daughter-in-law for my son. So in the that one past time, so many are there. And the Krishna, he...
just five.
Yes, so Krishna, he used Arjuna to deliver this Bhagavad Gita knowledge for all of us. Although that time so many other very, very highly elevated souls were present, like Bhishma Deva and all so many other sannyasis and yogis. But Krishna especially chose Arjuna because he is very, very dear devotee of Krishna. 4.5?
That's good for Arjuna. Did you have another question also?
I don't have much about Pradyumna. I have some 3-4 points.
Okay, but
have you heard about Pradyumna? So Pradyumna, he was Cupid in his former life before he born as Rukmini and Krishna's son. That one past time how he lost his body. There was a demon and the demon has this boon that he can be killed only by Shiva's son. And that time Shiva was always in trance, yugas and practically no son. So all the demons, they were thinking what to do. So they approached Cupid. They were requested him, please, if you come, if you do something and somehow if you help us to bring Shiva out of the trance so that we can get rid of this demon. Then he was already very afraid, but somehow because he subordinate to Indra, so he came to help the demigod and he tried all of his whatever power, and finally he succeeded. And because Shiva was very angry and his third eye opened, and that's how he lost his body. But all the demigods, they requested, because he came here on our request, so can we do something, because his wife was crying. So then all of them, they requested, and then he waited for a very long time, and then when Krishna came, descended in the Yaduna city, and then in Dwarika pastime, he born as Krishna's son. And he was almost very like features of like Krishna. Even Krishna's queens, when this Pradyumna was walking, sometimes they were feeling like very shy, they were feeling like Krishna is going through that way. And he was chief, commander-in-chief of the Yadu dynasty. Yes.
It was very significant, the Battle of Sholma. The kidnap story at Virginia. Kidnapped as a baby. Okay,
thank you. My personality which I was given, which I took myself, Akrura, very prominent, and also very dear devotee of Krishna. With many pastimes and many chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam also, 10, 10 to 38, 39, 40. And one of the prominent pastimes which Akrura enacted was he became a messenger of Kamsa. Even Narad Muni came to Kamsa and told him actually, because he was a fan of Lord. Because it is said that Krishna was enacting so many beautiful times in Braja that his main purpose, one of the main purpose was to kill Kamsa also. So he was forgetting the main purpose. So Narad Muni, to remind that main purpose, Krishna should come now, because whenever, whatever atoms or demons are coming there, and Krishna is always in there. So it was better that Krishna should personally, Kamsa should call Krishna here, and then Kamsa could be there. So at that time, on Narad Muni advice, he only advised that you should take Akrura as a messenger and send him to Vrindavan to call Krishna, and then you can have kind of a some festival, and at that time you can kill Krishna. Also, Akrura is his father name is Sopajalaka, and he's uncle of Krishna and Balaram also. The distant relative of Krishna and Balaram also. And he is a very important yadav. He is also a minister in Kamsa's ministry. And also it is said that very beautiful past that how Kamsa, how Akrura, he went as a messenger, he went to Vrindavan. And when he was going to Vrindavan, he requested Kamsa to give a new chariot for Krishna. He didn't want to take an old chariot, nor he want to take a chariot of Kamsa also, because he knew that they are supreme personality, he is going there. So he requested a new chariot. A new chariot was given to him, and early morning he started from Vrindavan, and he reached Vrindavan late evening, absorbed in Krishna pastimes, absorbed thinking about Krishna, absorbed glorifying Krishna while he was going. So it took a long time for him to reach to Vrindavan. And as soon as he reached Vrindavan, it was kind of a dusk time, and all the cows were coming home. And as soon as he just saw kind of a footprints of Krishna Balaram, Krishna, he just jumped out of the chariot. He just paid his obeisances, prostrate obeisances. And then he was looking at the symbols, at the soles of Krishna's feet. He could see thunderbolt, he could see flag, so many symbols. He circumambulated them also. And he paid obeisances and he was rolling on the dust. So this shows how pure devotee enacts. When he sees Krishna, he just remembers Krishna. Just seeing Krishna's symbol only, he became so ecstatic about Krishna that so much of pure devotional service came out of him. And then finally it was a little bit dark when he finally reached at the place of Nand Maharaj. And then he was met Krishna and Balaram also. And Krishna and Balaram, they gave a very nice reception to them, and very lovingly, and very beautifully described it how Krishna and Balaram was looking at that time. Balaram was in blue clothes, Krishna was in yellow garments, and very beautifully decorated also. They were living there, and Krishna and Balaram, they were very reciprocated very nicely, and they served in nice prasad also, they gave supper also, and then they were talking also. And then Kamsa, Akrura told everything about his mission also, and about mind of Kamsa also. Whatever was there, he didn't hide anything, he told everything. And Krishna and Balaram were just laughing in their mind, because they knew that what is going to happen now. Then finally it is said that next morning, everyone, when they heard that Krishna and Balaram would be going for the festival, and Akrura has actually come to take them away, everyone was broken hearted. No one wanted to send them. But because Krishna and Balaram has decided they will be going, and they convinced his parents also. So that finally they left on the chariot. Gopis wanted to stop also, but they were unable to stop. And they were going towards Mathura. And there's a place near Vrindavan which is called as, in part of Ashokvan, which is called as Akrur Ghat. So when Krishna and Balaram on chariot and Akrur is driving the chariot, they came at this place. So Akrura, in some mind, he knew that Krishna, and Krishna was Supreme Person of Godhead, but still he was had some plans that maybe this won't work, that won't work. So he was in his mind, and also he was making some plans to protect Krishna if something happens and Kamsa attacks, and Kamsa was able to take charge also. So in the background he was making some plans also. So when that chariot reached on Akrur Ghat, near Akrur Ghat, so Krishna knew the mind, what the mind, because in that Akrur knew that Krishna is a Supreme Lord, and on the other side he was thinking that maybe Krishna comes in some kind of danger also. So at that time Akrur Ghat, they reached around noon time, and then Akrura got down to do his Gayatri, and for doing Gayatri he came to Yamuna for his snan, he went for bathing, and as soon as he went for bathing inside the Yamuna, he saw Krishna and Balaram there. And he was very surprised and shocked that Krishna and Balaram were in chariot, then how could they be here? And then immediately he went upstairs, and then on the chariot he saw that Krishna and Balaram were there. And when he was thinking of the wilderness, what is this? Then again he went down to take bath again, and then again he saw Krishna and Balaram. But this time he saw that Balaram was in the form of a Sheshna and Krishna was forming a Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu was lying down on Sheshna and Sheshna was serving him. And so many demigods and Gandharvas, and they are used to the stuti of Krishna, and then they are glorifying Krishna with different kind of things. So at that time, Kuru was very much pacified. He was new, that he was very much convinced. And when he came outside, then he very much beautifully glorifies Krishna. Beautiful prayers, he glorifying Krishna and Balaram. And because now he was convinced that he was the actual Supreme Lord. And then finally they reached Mathura. He wanted Krishna to come to his home, but Krishna said, I will be coming to your home later. So Tika Kuru was a very important personality, who was a very, played a very vital role. And in part of Krishna's diligence also, Kamsa diligence, because he was the one who convinced everyone, and he took Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Also, Akura's pastime, important pastime, took place when Akura was in Dwarka. That was part time of Samantha when he was there. Akura was a pure devotee, but still at that time, there was a little bit confusion about Samantha jewel. And at later part of stage, Akura was actually, he was handling the Samantha jewel, but when Krishna asked him, he refused that no, no, I am not carrying the Samantha jewel. So he is a pure devotee, but one time when Krishna is asking, then at that time he was not being honest there, and for that he had to suffer also. So there are many pastimes of Akura, but he is a very honest, person, a very good minister, and a very pure devotee of Lord, who is always absorbed in remembering Krishna, thinking about Krishna, and always trying to glorify Krishna in all the ways.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, just very briefly, Vidura actually already knew what had happened to all these people, so why was he asking? He wasn't asking for practical reasons. Prabhupada says he was asking for psychological reasons. That even though he knew what had happened to the Yadu dynasty, still he was asking Uddhava because he was just so devastated by what happened to the dynasty, he needed some assurance. You'll also find, we don't have time, but you'll also find in this chapter a lot of discussion of the sweet relationships, about how the three older Pandavas really took care of the younger Pandavas, how Vasudev took care not only of his many wives, but also of his sister. About the relationship of Vasudev and Vidura through Kunti, who's Vasudev's sister and Vidura's sister-in-law. How he asked about Krishna and Balaram just out of love, because of course they're always well.